Tonight we sang, we read, or Ben read for us, the great truths of Scripture from the very beginning, and we've seen why we have to have a Savior because of the fall and the sin, and that taints us to the largest and the nth degree. It's not as if we are as bad as we could be. We all know people who are very nice and caring and compassionate. But it's the sheer fact that Scripture teaches that we are touched by sin from the top of our heads to the bottom of our toes. We are tainted in every sense, and therefore we are separate from God. Tonight we've heard the prophets foretell of his coming. We've heard the place of his birth. We saw him worshipped, and the wise men brought gifts to him, and finally of his eternal existence and his incarnation. The most important thing I want us to see tonight, it's what the Savior brings to us, what he brings to us. When we see the word life as it is used in Scripture, it refers to two things. One, it refers to physical life, that life which we have here, the flesh is often talked about. But it also deals with spiritual life. And that spiritual life only comes through Jesus Christ. It's only what he can give us. So to appreciate the spiritual life that we're given, we have to understand that prior to receiving that life from Christ, we're dead. And you think, well, I'm pretty much alive, Rand. I don't think I'm dead. Well, before you were in Christ, you were dead. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. He says very clearly, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. So he's talking to people whose lives have been changed by the grace of Jesus Christ. You once walked. And what was the evidence? You were following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And here's that great word that we love in Scripture, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. See, for each of us, that is the state that we're born in. It's a state of hopelessness. You were born in a state of sin. And you were dead in your trespasses. And you say, well, Rand, explain that to me a little bit more, because I really don't understand that. I'm alive, but you're telling me that I'm dead. Well, let's look at it this way. There you are in the middle of the ocean, and you're trying to swim. You're looking for help, and you see a boat there. It's a little boat, and it's coming towards you, but you don't think you can last very long, and you're going under, and you come up, and you go under again, and finally, for the third time, you go under, and you have ceased to breathe. Your brain has ceased to function. Your lungs are full of salt water. You are dead. And the person on the boat, who happens to be the Lord, reaches into the water and grabs you and pulls you, your dead body, out of the water into the boat, and he breathes life into you. And suddenly you are not spiritually dead. You are spiritually alive. You say, oh, that's pretty good. But you see, you were dead. And dead people really don't do very much. In fact, they don't do anything. It was the Lord in his grace and his love that reaches down while you are dead and draws you unto himself and breathes life into you. Because Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. So when Scripture states that all men are dead spiritually, we're dead in our sin. That's what it's talking about. We have no capacity in and of ourselves to do anything about it. God must act, and he in his graciousness acts in a powerful way to change our hearts, to change our lives. The Lord grabs us, draws us unto himself, opening our eyes to our need for Christ. See, the life we're given in Christ is life that is of such quality that it has no end. It cannot be quantified. It begins here in this world and continues on forever. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, John says. He also says, not only is this life eternal, but it is abundant. And you think, well, what does abundant life look like? Well, it looks like everything that God wants you to be, wants you to have, wants you to excel in. That is the abundant life. He brings into our lives all those things which are for our good and for our blessing. Abundant life means joy. It doesn't depend upon our material surroundings. Your surroundings might be terrible. Your surroundings might be full of struggle and of trial, and you might find sadness in this world, but you can find a joy in Jesus Christ that can never be taken. 1 John chapter 5 says, God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So I think it's clear that when John says, in him was life, he means the spiritual life, the eternal life, the life that saves us from the judgment that we deserve. Well, most people you'd see if you were in the mall, we don't go to the mall anymore, where you say you're on the trail walking your dog, and there's a bunch of people there, and you bring your dog up, and you say, did you all know that you're just dead? I don't think they would respond very well, okay? But it's that spiritual death, that death of everyone who's outside of Christ. Scripture says, seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, and they do not understand. Now, perhaps you're like this, like I was. I was in church for quite a while. I'd heard many sermons, been to many Christmas Eve services, got all the warm fuzzies. We lit the candles. We sing Silent Night, which we'll do tonight, which is very important for us. But it didn't register with me for some reason. Not until I was 15. And suddenly, my eyes were open. I'm like, why didn't I understand this before? Why didn't I see this before? Because I saw, but I didn't see. I heard, but I didn't hear. I really didn't understand. So maybe you've been to a lot of services. You've heard this time and time again, but you're hearing about life, and you're hearing about how could I be dead and now be alive? That's the work of Jesus Christ. He says they don't see Jesus as supremely valuable. They don't see his sacrifice as precious. They don't see his presence in their lives as the greatest treasure. They're simply blind to these things. They are spiritually dead to this, the greatest reality in all of mankind, that Christ was born a babe, that he came into this world, lived a perfect life to give his life for us, to atone for this sin that separates us from our Heavenly Father. From our passage that Ben read for us in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, when spiritual death is replaced by the life that God gives to us by his grace, then darkness is replaced with light. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. For when you receive Jesus, you receive life, and you receive light. So let me pray for us tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we have read your word tonight and heard it. The great story of Jesus, the need for him, the prophets telling how he would come, where he would be born, what his birth would mean. And then, of course, that he is the Lord. That he left your right hand and came into this world. Took on the form of a man that he should give his life for the likes of us here tonight, that we might know life as you want us to have it, that we might no longer walk in darkness, but that our eyes would be open, that we would know Jesus Christ, not just as a babe in a manger, but as the Lord of our lives. Lord, we thank you for this gift of grace that comes to us in Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite the elders who are going to help us with the Lord's Supper to come down and fill up the front pews, please. Now, tonight we're going to share the Lord's Supper. I'm going to stay up here because I didn't bring my other mic. I'm going to stay up here and explain how we do it here. For all who have professed their faith in Jesus Christ, you're welcome to come and partake in the Lord's Supper. Now, because we're wearing masks and because we like to stay apart from everybody, we've set it up so that we have bread and we have juice. And the bread is in the bottom cup and the juice is in the top cup, and they're stacked in the container. And at the moment when I invite people to come forward, invite you to come into the center aisles and come forward, and the elders will be up here, and they will have the plates, and they will hold the plate to you and say, this is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Take the stack of two cups, take your mask down, take the bread, and take the juice. And then you can exit on the sides, and there are waste cans you can drop your cups in there, okay? You can see how the line works as the pew in front of you goes, and then just line up and follow them. So tonight we're going to share the Lord's Supper. And it is, as I said, for those who have professed Christ as their Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come. And perhaps tonight this is the first time you've maybe really understood that maybe I'm dead in my sin. I need to be made alive. Then it's simply asking Christ to make you alive, to be your Lord and Savior. We don't really deserve this grace, but he says, come. Come to my table. Know me in this way once again. We in the Presbyterian Church, the Reformed faith, say that's just bread and that's just juice. But then again, it's so much more. It's the real presence of Christ. Christ never leaving the right hand of the Father, yet somehow he is here in this room with us when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We, never leaving this room, somehow are taken right to the throne of grace to know his mercies, either for the first time or once again. So let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are really not worthy to come to your table, but yet you call us to do so. You have made the way for us to be here through the work of Jesus Christ, the finished work of Jesus Christ. He gave his life for us. His blood is what atones for our sins. It covers us. It washes us. And typically we think, Lord, of blood staining, but no, it is his blood that washes. Lord, each of us comes here tonight with things upon our hearts. Each of us comes here tonight as imperfect men and women. But yet you say, I didn't wait for you to get cleaned up. While you were still in your sin, that's when I sent Christ to die for you. Now come to the table and know this grace. Lord, we have much upon our hearts that needs forgiven. Perhaps we tonight harbor anger in our hearts. Perhaps we have been unkind again and again and we just can't seem to stop. Perhaps we have seen things we shouldn't have seen, said things we should not have said. Perhaps, Lord, there are people in our lives that we need to go and forgive or seek forgiveness from. But Lord, you say, come. Come to the table. Know this grace that you provide for us once again, that we would be renewed in our faith, in our spirit, understanding once again how much it is you care for us. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.